Mutual Mental is the podcast for candid and relatable discussions on mental health from a different perspective. That is the peer perspective. Thousands of men die each year from the silence, and we're trying to break that. Even though our goal is to have men opening up, everyone is welcome to listen and learn a thing or two. So let's end the silence, break the stigma, and normalize mental health.
So short hair, looking good, man.
Yeah, cut it all off. It was 2 weeks ago. It was completely bald, completely shaved. Did it for the first time ever, and I've been getting a lot of compliments on it.
Nice. And did you shave it yourself?
I had a barber come to my house in a van and cut my hair in my front lawn.
Yeah, like the pet grooming
van. Yeah, it's called the Clipper Ship.
I didn't know they were doing it for humans. I see the pet grooming van.
It's just cool, like, man. That. Yeah. So yeah. It was great. It was a great experience. You know, I didn't have to go anywhere for an appointment. It came right to me.
Nice.
And you're looking good too. You look refreshed. You look rejuvenated. Oh, yeah.
Wow, I don't feel like that. I'm so freaking tired, man.
Really?
I edited our last chat until 1 o'clock last night. I was just on fire and just, I want to get this done, and going and going. And I was like, oh man, I have to go to bed. And it was one. And this morning I was so tired. But no, it's fine. I'll try to go to bed early tonight.
Yeah. Have you started the new position yet?
Yeah, I did. I started like early June.
Okay.
So I went to Quebec City, you know, to see my families and friends. And when I came back the next day, June 8th, I was starting full time. So that was a change from, because I've been working part time for the past years. So it's a bit of adaptation, but it's fine. I can still manage my schedule, which is good. I have staff reporting to me, peer mentors on the road. So it keeps me more busy too. But I like it.
Good. And you get to use your skills once again.
Yeah, it feels so good to be back in a peer environment and a peer-led and peer-run organization. I enjoy my time with other organizations, but I was looking forward to be in the peer world. You know, you don't have to explain the recovery model and the peer values. Like, everybody gets it and are trained, which makes a difference. It's so cool.
Have you found that going back to that kind of environment has been a little bit easier on your mental health? Like, I know you said it's a transition going full time, but being back in a peer organization and knowing you can use your skills and use your material that you've known for so long, do you feel better about it? Do you feel more comfortable? How are you finding that?
I would say yes, but there were some challenges in my past job, and it really got to me so deeply. So my stress level really increased. I would start to lose sleep, being more stressed. Even my wife would notice, and people around me. So it's not the only reason why I changed, but I think yes, going to that peer environment felt like home, especially now I think about it, jumping into a new job and going back to a manager supervising role, and usually the stress and anxiety builds up, and I didn't feel that this time. I know I'm in the right place, because if I look back at a director position I had done in the past for so many years in the corporate world, it's completely different. I think I'm approaching stress and situations differently, and I can see, like, throughout all my recovery, like the tools, it's nice to see the payoff of all the efforts that we put in. So
yeah.
How have things been on your side?
Things on my side are going pretty well. I'm actually excelling right now. I'm getting nothing but great reviews from my bosses and supervisors, and it's a great thing, but it's the point where I want to burn everything down and destroy it myself before something goes wrong and I'm a horrible employee and I'm the worst person in the world, you know, like, so I get nervous about that. But it's a really unrealistic mindset, because I'm not doing anything to bring me to that position. I'm only doing the things that'll propel me forward. You know, I'm not doing things that I used to do in the past. Kind of like you just said about your old leadership style and the way you used to direct. You're not there anymore. You approach things differently.
Right.
And I'm very much in a similar position. That's why it's nice to link up now. And, you know, after 2 weeks or so, I think it's good that we're coming back in a refreshed, good position. I know you said your body's tired. Overall, you look good. You look healthy, happy. Except I'm sorry they put a hole in your bathroom wall.
I said this is, no man, I don't want to complain. This is a first problem. Like, it's just material things, but it's more the everything around that has been so tiring. And we know that you get into renovations and it rarely goes as planned, and you kind of prepare for that. But like a job that was supposed to be 2 weeks, now it's a month and a half. You know, everything is upside down in the house with the dust and having people in your house. Plus, when I was starting my new job, having guys around like making hand signal in the window to show me tiles, and I'm on Zoom with my boss. bus or with a client, and I'm like, man, just pause. So I had to tell my boss, can you hold on a second while I talk to the guy so they don't screw things up? Anyway, so these are little things, but it just gets on your nerve, and having to watch them all the time, and it's just been so tiring managing the project while working and doing my new role, just adding up to the stress. And I think I managed well, but I feel it now that it's been tiring, like on my mind and on my body, and just like, just go away and finish it.
When you found yourself kind of like getting like to that point where you're getting stressed, how did you reel yourself back in? What are some of the things you did for yourself to like keep it under control?
So I breathe for sure. I smile. That's one thing.
Really?
Yeah, I smile. You know, it started when Kim and I, we were training for the Montreal Half Marathon. That's a long time ago, even before we moved to Boston. And I remember when we were, you know, you have to train and then you do a long run. And when we would do the long run, let's say on a Sunday, like at one point it's tiring, and then I remember my wife was running next to me and said, just smile and you'll see it's all gonna change. So then, you know, you're suffering, you're tired, you're like, what am I doing this? And you start smiling and it changes. It's true. I thought it was so cheesy, but it works. So to your question, I apply it. I try to remind myself when something goes bad or I'm gonna get angry or react to something, breathe, and then I smile. We went away for a week. That felt good, like in the forest and the woods. That's my home. Peer support and peer world is my home, but I could live in the forest. Like, I feel the presence, like it's alive, it's quiet. And so that's my good place. So we spend time hiking, mountain biking, going in the lake. That felt really good and was needed after all the renos and the stress. So
that's what I like to hear. I'm glad you found a way to channel that energy into something positive for yourself, and you get to spend time with your wife doing it too. So it's just a win on all levels, you know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's really good.
What do you do?
I scream and cry and flail around like a madman, but no, usually what I try to do is I'm not good at meditating, but I'm working on the breathing. I'm working on the focused breathing, the in through the nose, out through the mouth. I try to, except now my allergies are killing me, I'm like all sniffly, can't breathe at all. But I hope I don't get stressed, but I try to do my focused breathing. I try to read a page out of a book, or even write down one or two sentences in a journal of how I'm feeling, just to get it out of my head. And I pick up my guitar and I play a little bit sometimes, or I pace in my driveway a lot, back and forth, very anxiously, and I work my thoughts out in my head, and I talk to myself, and my neighbors are probably like, well, who is this cuckoo person, like at all hours of the night talking to himself in the driveway? But you know what, it helps, it works for me.
Whatever works. That's it. I do that too. I walk the dog and I talk to myself, and I'm like, I don't mind, like I tell myself jokes, and all right, like, yeah, so people are gonna look at me and I'm like, oh, whatever.
Full conversations with the dog?
Oh yeah, all the time. I talk with her. Yeah. So I would go for a walk during the day. If I get a bit worked up with work, having the dog really helps. I go for a walk with her, even if it's just a short 10, 20 minutes, just around the block. I come back and then I continue my work. You know what we learn in our peer class is having those hard conversations as peers. And it just reminded me to maybe revisit that. Like, I try to stay open-minded and hear the different worldviews, and knowing that we don't have to agree on everything, and passions resurface. And I find it challenging as a peer specialist to focus on the person and maybe not my own self and my own opinion, and just listen and be there and just try to practice, you know, those peer values. I wanted to get your thoughts on that. How challenging it is if you support people that have different views or opposite opinions from yours.
That's a great question and great point. I haven't had to come across it in this particular instance yet, right, but I'm sure it will come up. But I think is having that open mind and understanding other people's worldview. It's hard when people don't agree with you, and it's hard when people have a different opinion, but it doesn't make it impossible to understand what they're saying and where they're coming from. I respect multiple opinions. I respect other people's point of view, whether it's religious, whether it's societal, whether it's your upbringing or whatever it may be. I have my beliefs, and I can meet you where you're at, and I can understand where you're coming from, even if I don't agree. I'm not going to say I'm going to agree with everybody, and that's not expected of us as peer specialists. We're not here to make everything so cooker cutty, cook, I don't know the word for it.
Cookie cutter,
like by the book. These difficult conversations come up all the time. We might not be ready for them, but we can have the tools to navigate the conversation. So I'll just meet the person where they're at, try to see their worldview, and come to a common ground, maybe.
Yeah, maybe it's just the topics that were more intense for me, or really got into human values, where I really see just justice. But it makes me think, when does someone rights and respect starts or the other person starts and ends? We can always argue to the end of the world to say, oh, who's right or who's wrong. Like you said, respect each other, and we're here to support and we're not here to judge, even though we don't have to agree. We're often told, oh, don't talk about, you know, money, sex, religion, and all these things. But I kind of understand it. But is it realistic to keep everything for ourselves? Like, we're human beings. We're having discussions. I'm not saying that we have to start fires and fights everywhere, but where is it going to lead us? Will that help us respect and understand each other if we don't talk, or if we talk and then we just agree to disagree and just move on?
It's tough. And these are the things that people need to talk about. These are the conversations we have to have. We're not going to keep everything to ourselves and keep everything in. These topics are going to come up, especially we're living in a time right now, Pat, where like we've never seen this ever before, this kind of life, like a global pandemic that's coming on its third year. You know what I mean? We're coming up on the overturning of Roe versus Wade, which is turning back decades of fighting and progress. We're coming up on Ukraine and Russia. Yeah. Gas prices are at an all-time high. Food is at an all-time high. Our wages are at an all-time like low, basically, in comparison to the inflation. Everything is coming just to a perfect storm right now. And if we don't talk about these things, if we keep these things inside, it's going to boil up even faster and quicker. And it's going to be harder to maintain and control once it gets to that certain level. So we have to talk about these things, no matter how uncomfortable, no matter how nitty-gritty they are, and no matter how much we might disagree or agree. We have to come to that place where we can both be humans and talk to each other. I respect you as a brother as well. You know, you're part of my family. And I want to be able to come to you with these things that are on my mind. And I expect you to have an open view as well. So I think if we have more conversations like that, if we can bring people together, it doesn't even have to be like-minded people, just people. Mm-hmm. I think we can move forward and make some progress. But I think we can be optimistic in how we move forward and deal with it.
Absolutely. It doesn't take much for things to just blow up, and even ourselves and myself, like blow a fuse. And like, I don't want to look all zen and in control. I'm not, like, not at all. A little bit, but just act as human beings.
Because just having conversations like this and inviting people to listen to us on this podcast is going to open up so many doors. It's going to open up so many opportunities for not just you and I, but for the listeners. You know, they'll see what's possible. They'll see what's out there. At least that's my hope.
Wow. Such words of wisdom, man. Hey, how are you feeling? You feeling better? Your health?
I just had an appointment. Yeah, man. Yeah. I just had an appointment on Monday. They're saying I'm doing great.
Cool.
I feel great. I've only had 3 Monster energy drinks in the past month and a half. Yeah, I was drinking 3 a day for 5 years. I relapsed on Monster, but like still. And I had one in my fridge for a week. I didn't touch it. My relationship with energy drinks is good. It's not dangerous anymore.
Nice.
I'm doing the best I can with the diabetes. I'm doing the best I can with my health. For the past like year or two, I've been so focused on my mental health, I didn't care about my physical health. And now, for the first time in my life, I care. And it's starting to show. I'm starting to notice a difference.
Cool. And I know we discussed about that, like you are focusing more on your physical health. So what was the effect on your mental health? And it was interesting to start that conversation the last time to see how you kind of put it on the side. But you were saying it's nice to let it go, or putting it on the side, but you still have to keep a hand, you know, on the wheel, because you don't want anything to derail. So it's kind of that balance that you were trying to find. But how do you feel about that now?
I feel I've brought back the focus on my mental health a little bit more, but I've only had 2 days in the past month or so where I couldn't get out of bed. That's very, very far less frequent than what it was before. Depression has gone down. I was at first anxious about like doing the insulin right and eating the right food and all this stuff. So my anxiety was focused on that factor and not like, what are people looking at? Is something in my teeth? Do I sound funny? Do I have a dumb laugh? Like, all this other anxieties, you know, I let go of those for a little while and just focused on one thing. And it was honestly such a relief. I haven't had a break like that in a long time. And it wasn't like I was ignoring myself and out partying and doing this and forgetting about it in a negative way. Yeah. I was just refocused on something a little bit more important at the time. And I'm trying to make a change. It's not coming easy, and I don't eat vegetables every day, but I felt the relief in my mental health, and I'm coming back to it a little bit, but I'm starting to feel the result.
Nice. You say in terms of self-compassion, or?
Yeah. If I miss a dose of this, or if I eat something extra, or if I have a piece of cake, like I'm not going to like beat myself up over, as long as I'm not trying to harm myself or hurt myself, I want to still enjoy life a little bit, you know, still have some sweets.
Oh, sorry, I just lost my... Sometimes I put myself on mute because Billie Jean is snoring next to me, so I can hear her. Sorry, I didn't want to cut you off. And maybe it's a point in our recovery too. I know we're at a different place, but somewhat I feel that we're kind of close to the place where we are in our recovery, regardless of our background or what we went through. But the more I talk with you, I see a lot of similarities on where we stand. I was just thinking maybe it's that part of the recovery where I find that balance that I don't have to always think about mental health. I don't have to always consciously think about what are my feelings, my physical sensations, what are my thoughts. It was almost like a duty, like I have to do it to stay mentally healthy because I was scared of going into, you know, anxiety or panic attack or go back to depression or have suicidal thoughts. I do mindfulness and awareness constantly. But you talk about meditation. I was meditating every day, but I think at one point I was doing it because I felt I had to do it to ground me in the morning and sit down and formally meditate, even if for 5, 10, 15 minutes. And now I took a different approach and say, yeah, I'm going to do it when I feel it. And if I don't feel it and I jump right into work or stuff, at least I'm aware about it. And I take a step back and say, okay, maybe I'll just do breathing 5 minutes instead of sitting down and meditating, you know. So there's different things I feel I can do that still helps me a lot to ground me. Because, you know, in the morning, I have ADHD too. So in the morning, I want to do 30 things at the same time and I want to jump right into work and do stuff. And then that's where my anxiety just goes up. And then I get discouraged because I don't achieve all the things I want to do. Anyways,
the thing about a recovery where you kind of said we're at similar spots, but we come from different backgrounds. That's probably just part of the kind of the point of recovery not being linear. And it's going to go change from day to day. Where we are in our graph, we're kind of at similar points, like where our mindset and how we deal with things and how we try to take on different responsibilities and not get overwhelmed. It's interesting that the more we talk, the more I find that there are similarities in our approach to things. And I think that's very cool to me.
Yeah. And then we realize, like, oh shit, now we're back, like going down. You're like, oh, what's this? Oh, why? Why? I was doing well. What's going on? Oh, why do I feel like that? And that's the challenge. That's mental health. It reminds you that it's there. It's hard at the beginning when you start to have mental health challenge, like you don't accept, you don't know what's going on. You're just, you don't want it. You don't want to feel like this. You don't understand. There's so many layers. Now with a different approach, I think it's a little bit easier, and also support. Like I know, like we can talk about everything and without judgment. And it's important to have that support around us where we can talk openly what's going on.
I agree completely. Having that support system and that circle is... Sorry, there's just a motorcycle driving by.
Yeah. Are you in the Return of the Jedi?
You know, I know, right? Vroom, vroom.
You live in the future, man.
Having that support and that circle has just been so monumental in my recovery journey that I know that I'd be nowhere if I was alone. You know, I mean, I could do a lot on my own. I'm a strong person, but there's no way I could do any of this recovery stuff by myself. And I know that other people probably feel similar and they just don't know how to ask for help. They don't know how to reach out. A lot of men struggle with the stigma and trying to end the silence of reaching out for help. And that's why we started this podcast. And I think if we can let more people feel like they're not alone and feel heard and feel validated, we can make that small change in the world and not have to deal with a lot of the same problems we're currently dealing with.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sensitive content for some people. Hosts are not therapists nor doctors. Everyone's experience is different and valid. Find what works for you. If you or someone you know needs immediate mental health support, call 1-800-273-TALK 8255 or go to your local emergency hospital.
Thanks to Bricks Royal for the music. Thanks to Notown for the mixing and editing.
Don't forget to hit that subscribe button if you like what you heard today.